Hi, this is Dr. Fred Bell on the Saturday night edition of the Health, Science, and Energy show, the one and only Health, Science, and Energy show. There could be no other. There's no other Dr. Bell, that's for darn sure. And we're live on BBS Radio. And if you want, you can turn the camera on because I'm on the camera here. And I'm waiting. We're still trying to get a hold of my spaced-out guest tonight, Xenia Seberg. It's 4 o'clock in the morning over there, and she was supposed to be on tonight. And she promised that she would show up for this, but I don't see where she has. So in the meantime, I've got another friend of mine named Desiree Turley that wants to come on, and she's got a really good idea about a show called A Star for a Night. And I'm going to let her explain what that is. It's a project she's been working on that I think is a very good project. So, Desiree, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good. So you want to tell the audience, I got 13 listeners, as you know, and all 13 of them are hopped up. I don't know what on tonight. One of them is smoking something. I can smell it over the microphone, but a couple of them had a hot toddy, but the rest of them seem pretty good. So, you want to tell everybody what you got going there?
Yes, but first I'd like to say thank you very much for giving me some of your time and your audience. And I want to tell your audience that I think you're just an awesome, wonderful person and a very good friend, and I really enjoy your friendship.
I don't know why you're saying that to me. I don't treat you very good. I don't treat anybody very good on Saturday night.
Friendship.
I'd rather be out bowling. Don't you know that? It's my bowling night. Don and Doug took it away from me.
Well, there's a lot of different levels of friendship, and the one thing I enjoy about you is that you're an extreme visionary.
Oh, good.
And an extreme visionary, and I learn a lot from you.
Oh, okay.
And
all I can do is teach you how to get in trouble. So anyhow, tell us about the Star for the Night.
Okay,
star.com, too. They can check out your website, right?
Yes, the website is www.astarforthenight.com.
There's a picture of you with some well-known country singers, I believe, in that website.
Well, a lot of celebrities are involved in my program. But let me start at the beginning. I have been doing a Star for the Night Foundation for over 8 years. And my mission with A Star for the Night is to take children that are not only terminally ill, but also underprivileged, you know, children that are going through, extremely difficult situations. Maybe they've lost a loved one, or they're just in situations that are very hard and difficult for them in their lives, as well as being homeless and terminally ill. I also work with children that are from the Byrne Foundation and Enloe Medical Center, homeless shelters, the Esplanade House, Wings of Eagles, a lot of different associations where we do our children's selection. And we take these kids and we give them one of the best days of their lives. And we start out by giving them a limo ride to a store to pick out their beautiful outfit for the evening, then makeovers, and then we give them dinner. And they also spend the evening with one of their parents. And this is very, very special when they're with their parent, because usually when they're going through these hard times, the parents are going through extremely hard times as well. And we found that not only by experiencing these, special gifts that are given to them, but also the biggest gift that we found these children enjoy the most is seeing their parents out having a good time, seeing them enjoying themselves, and the kids, seeing their parents enjoy themselves. So that seems to be a very special, thing in regards to the evening. But the main part is that we make the children a star. So after they get all the to-dos and hoopla, with the limo and the dinner and all that, then we go off to the red carpet and get up on stage and share the spotlight with their favorite celebrities. And the agendas with that could be a child that is maybe out in the Sharks tank and with the Sharks jersey on, and then they go and introduce the team, or they could hit a puck, whatever we do to make them a star and to share the spotlight with the celebrity. What this also causes is great elation and enjoyment from the audience because they get to see these dreams come true right in front of their eyes. So they get to enjoy it, experience it, and share it with the children. And the celebrities do the same. I found with Make-A-Wish, there's always a good, bad, and ugly with any idea, concept, or foundation. And the one part about that I have been expressed to me by the celebrities with just doing the meet and greets with Make-A-Wish, the celebrities have said that they felt somewhat uncomfortable. Their hearts want to give out to these children, and they want to do something for them. But, you know, what do you say, you know? And when what can you really give other than a handshake and a hug and an autograph? So what I did was I took the concept and said what these celebrities really want to give is what they can give, and that is sharing their spotlight and being able to, you know, if you're a basketball player, throw the basketball with their celebrity, and or, you know, get up on stage and jam with Leanne Rimes and dance and play an instrument, and, you know, the celebrities have just been elated over this. And sometimes they go even further. I had one event where I got 10 children from Wings of Eagles, which are all terminally ill children. And I had a championship bull riding event, and it went on all weekend. And the children were pretty young. You know, I pretty much make sure that the children's ages go with the event, you know, to where they'd enjoy it the most. And of course they did a lot of entertainment at halftime with the clowns. So you didn't want to have children that were too old. So the average age was about 5 for this event. It was a Friday night and a Saturday night. And the Saturday night was the night where they chose the champion from the weekend event. And the children got to start the national anthem, sing that and start the Pledge of Allegiance and hold the flags and then do the entertainment with the clown at halftime. But the last evening, right before they were going to, announce the champion, that I brought the children back and to meet the cowboys, and the cowboys just fell in love with these little 4 and 5 year old children that were terminally ill, and they wanted to give their cowboy hats and their favorite riding gloves that were all autographed, and they were wanting to give their shirts off their back. I mean, literally, there was two cowboys that were saying, "Do you want my favorite cowboy shirt?" You know, they wanted to give anything and everything they could. And this one champion cowboy was on his knees and hugging this one little boy named Levi Johnson, who is 5 years old and terminally ill. And he just fell so in love with this little boy. And tears were pouring down his eyes. And this was like probably 2 minutes before they were announcing the championship. And the champion, and they didn't know at this point who it was. But it was Buddy Golden, the man that was on his knees, you know, crying over this little boy. And so when they announced his championship and had him come up to get his $20,000 solid gold belt buckle with tons of stones and the 7-foot trophy that is infinite, goes to will always go to the rodeos with their name engraved on the on the trophy. He went up there with still tears in his eyes after meeting Levi, and out of the goodness of his heart just compelled him to want to give, and so he gave his championship prize to this little boy he just met a few minutes earlier, and just spontaneously got up there and called his name. We put him over the fence, little Levi over the fence, and he ran up there and he gave his championship prize. And it totally changed this little boy's life, as well as his own, you know, not knowing when he did this and spontaneously gave them the only thing, you know, and the biggest thing that he had, he gave to this little boy. And he had no idea that it was going to change his life, too. And emotionally, you know, he's on the phone with his wife, and his wife was crying, and he was crying, and it changed him just as much as it changed the little boy Levi's life. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, Levi's mom called me and was on the phone in tears, saying that he went to bed holding this belt buckle that was in a wooden box. He didn't take it out of the box. And he was holding this box so tight in his arms that his little arms were turning white. And he said to his mom, "I'm never going to sleep a night without it." And so I called the rodeo, you know, minutes later, and got on the cell phone with Buddy Golden, and we were all crying about how, you know, such a spontaneous loving thing could change everybody's life. And he also became one of the most probably well-known cowboy out there for at least the next 3 months after that whole ordeal, because he was on every magazine and newspaper and everything because of what he did. Not that he did it for that, but that just seems to be what happens, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a great story. Yeah, I think there's a picture of all that on your website too, isn't there?
I believe so, yes. There's an article, the obviously the media picked up on, you know, such an extraordinary gift, and especially when it's spontaneous, and he just did it out of the goodness of his heart. And that's what, you know, my whole concept behind A Star for the Night is about. The other thing is that I've had my 501(c) that I've never used. I believe the concept of giving without needing money, and without the exchange of, you know, profits, is one thing that I'm going to politically, you know, do a lot of PR over. I believe just the idea of the corruption in nonprofits, and even in the concept of giving itself, we need to revolutionize the whole concept and idea. I totally believe. You know, it seems like anything that's connected with the government and with nonprofits, you have to be. You cannot get a 501(c) without having it be connected, you know, in a government way and in the way that they normally do things. And it took me several years to get my 501(c) because I was trying to do a concept that nobody else has done. And you can't even fill out the paperwork unless you're going to be making money and making profits and doing it for some kind of monetary gain. I literally had to put in things that were almost untrue as far as my, concept of making money and fundraising and all that type of thing, knowing that I wasn't going to be doing that, because you could not get your 501(c) passed unless you're doing it for the money. And so I've been doing this nonprofit now for 8 years, and I've had my 501(c) for about 4 years, and I'm ready to really spring out and make it a bigger concept and try to get people to realize that you could give without giving money. You could give your spotlight, you could give your heart, you could give your time. And it seems that right now we need to completely start a revolution over the act of giving, because it seems to me that people will see our veterans on the side of the road and they roll up their window and say, "Tough buddy." You know, people are not giving anymore. And it's because, you know, with all the political stuff that goes along with it, you know, where you find out on the news and everywhere that, our money that we are giving out of the goodness of our hearts go into somebody's friggin' bank account, or, you know, or the Red Cross or the United Way or whatever people we're counting on to do good with, they turn around and there's corruption. And
I worked on the Hunger Project. Warner Earhart started that. And as far as I know, that project didn't feed anybody but the people that were making the project happen.
Exactly. And I'm sure...
All rich, but nobody got fed.
Exactly. I bet you could come up with 1,000 stories, Dr. Bell, on how, you know, the mess in Katrina has caused people to just give up. And that's where I'm going to politically make some kind of a big stand on nonprofits, and I can kick the asses of the corruption and the nonprofits that are doing this, because I have not used my 501(c). I have not needed one dime to do my nonprofit, and I've helped over 150 kids, and it's going to triple and quadruple very soon with the people that I'm getting connected with. And we can do it without any money. The limo, the clothes, the dinner, everything, you know, the hoopla prior to getting the kids up on stage to share their spotlight, we have the limo driver donate their services directly to the children. Now, when anybody asks you, will you give something to this child, you're not going to say no, are you? But if I ask you for money, you know, for me to get something for the child, you're going to sit there and question me, and you're going to want to check out my 501(c) and check out my, you know, agenda. And this way, nobody's ever said no to me because I don't ask them for money. I don't ask them for anything for the organization or the foundation. If I need clothes for the kids or makeovers or a limo or dinner, they give that to the children. The children come in and pick out their outfits. So these people get to give them a hug, and the kids get to say thank you. And you know what? Nobody wants anything more. You know, I don't have to tell them I'm going to give them advertising. They never even question me as to how they can write it off. Nobody's ever even asked where they can, because they get to write it off for advertising. But the point is that, you know, the whole concept of giving is all screwed up and corrupt. And so more than just getting Star for the Night on the road, I want people to start, you know, getting a new concept of giving. And
now, tell me something. Most of these kids are terminally ill, right, that you bring out?
No, not most of them. Some of them. Like I said before, I also work with the Burn Foundation, even the hospitals, the medical centers. So if a child's going through something such as, you know, diabetes, you know, some of these things are very, very painful. And there's, even though the child isn't terminally ill, they're still under a lot of, you know, physical pain and inconvenience, and these families are very, very strained in the fact that, you know, a lot of mothers have to quit their jobs so that they could, you know, be taking the children to the hospital, you know, for treatments, even if they're not terminally ill. There's still so many children out there, and there's nothing for them, you know. I love Make-A-Wish because they do, you know, do a big, big, big volume of giving, even if it is airline tickets or Disneyland passes. At least there's something for those children, you know, that everybody knows about, that they can take advantage of for some kind of reward and giving to these children. But I don't know of too much that's for a burn child or a child that's just going through a very painful, long ordeal, physically or even emotionally.
And don't they, after they have an experience like that, don't they seem to get better?
You know what? It's amazing that you say that, because I always follow up with the kids. And I've had two children that were given less than, you know, they were not supposed to have made it to the point of where even I had given them the event. And one child, she was, I believe she was 15, and I got her up on stage with Greg Scott, who's like a little yummy Backstreet Boy, and then they went out on a private date, her and this other teenage girl, with Greg Scott after the event. You know, they went and got yogurt in the limo for their private date. Anyway, she was just this outrageously beautiful, gorgeous, you know, her spirit and her heart was just so perfect and angelic and beautiful. And she had cancer to the degree to where they didn't even expect her to be living that long. She was in chemo, and anyway, I called her after the event about a month later, and you know, because I had another event that I thought that she would love to be involved in. And she said to me, "Desiree, you're not going to believe this." I said, "What?" And she said, "I am healthier and more. I am so cured. I am healthier than you are." I said, "What?" She goes, "Yes, I am. I had a miracle happen. The doctors are blown away. They've had media coverage on it, because I am more healthy than anybody I know." And she says, I want to be one of, I want to be involved in your events. I want to help you with your events. And I have like these fairy godmothers on my events where I'll have, you know, my women friends be in charge of each child to make sure that they're having fun and every need and want and desire for the evening that I call them fairy godmothers will take care of and make sure that they're handled, you know, for these children, giving them special attention. And she said she wants to be a fairy godmother for the events. And just outrageous, outrageous, you know, miracles that happen. And that was one thing with her. I don't take any credit for it. I don't think it has anything to do with my events really necessarily. I think a lot of it is just that, you know, there's so much love poured out. And maybe that could be a little bit of an effect. I don't know. But she was the one child that, you know, we didn't expect to live. Another child, Richard Peake, he has MS and is in a wheelchair, can't move, can only speak. He's 16. He wasn't expected to live this long either. Anyway, he said to me, I want to be a DJ because he's got this outrageously wonderful personality. He can speak so well. And he says, I want to be a DJ when I grow up. That's what I want to be for my career. And it was just so inspiring to see this young person. He had more hope than anybody. I mean, he wouldn't let it kick him. He wouldn't even put it into his conscious that he is not going to make it. I mean, it just doesn't even dawn on him, you know. He's thinking about his career and what he wants to be and what he's inspiring to be good at. And he says to me, I want to be a DJ. So I got his whole resume set up, and I set him up on a whole bunch of radio talk shows. And he has about five or six of them on his resume, and he's ready to go. And he did a fabulous job, completely inspired, and that's what he's going to be when he grows up. But he's still doing it now and just building his resume up as a guest. You know, I have him be guests on radio shows, which I should probably have him be on your show too, Dr. Bell.
I think so, huh?
Yes. I think that would be wonderful. But, you know, I mean, he was supposed to have been, you know, not cured and not able to survive for years now. And I did this event 2 years ago. And he's still doing fabulous, you know. And like you said, yeah, it's amazing. You know, I have not had one child that hasn't made it.
That's a good track record.
Well, I haven't had all terminally ill children, but the ones that have been terminally ill are still alive and kicking, and one's doing better than me.
Good. How do people get a hold of you for more information?
Excuse me?
How do people get a hold of you for more information?
Well, the website again is www.astarforthenight.com, all spelled out, you know, not the number four, but F-O-R, astarforthenight.com. And my phone number is 530-895-1215.
Yeah, that's good. If somebody wants to find out more, they should get a hold of you and talk to you directly, I guess, huh?
Yes, if anybody knows of a child that would, you know, benefit from an event, then I would love to help you out in that way. And, you know, I don't do fundraising, don't need the funding, but if anybody wants to be a part of it, a godparent, you know, on the trip, or if you know of a venue that, you know, a star or, you know, an athlete or anybody that has a spotlight that feels that they can, you know, help a child to experience, you know, one of the best nights of their lives, and they want to share even 30 seconds to 1 minute of their spotlight, I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, I know a lot of the basketball and professional football players do a lot of charity work. That would be a good thing for them to get involved with.
Yes, I've spoken to so many of the local teams, and they're doing a lot of this stuff on their own. you know, they're not doing the quantity and even, you know, the big hoopla that I do with it for the children. But, you know, they have their own specific events. A lot of them will just, you know, do like a night for, you know, the cancer kids or, you know, and they pick their special nights, you know, to kind of give at halftime, you know, a little bit of the love, to share the love. So, and I totally appreciate that and love that idea. My big dream and goal with a Star for the Night, Dr. Bell, is more of a profound concept in the fact that I believe truly that if this gets big enough and even global, that people will realize in their subconscious that whenever they're up on the stage for a show or a concert or a parade or anything where they do have the spotlight, that eventually people are going to realize that it's going to be a wasted show, a wasted event, unless they have taken that 30 seconds to even grab a child out of the audience if it hasn't been thought about or prepared for in the future, you know, for people to just, you know, take on the concept, and they don't have to do it through a Star for the Night. If they realize that all they have to do is grab somebody out of the audience and give them that 30 seconds of feeling wonderful and having the crowd, you know, clap for them and enjoy that moment with them, it could be a very inspiring thing. And anybody that doesn't, you know, subconsciously do that in the future, I believe is going to be a wasted show and a wasted, concert or an event.
Yeah, I think so. I do a lot of charity work myself. I think you get a much better feeling out of life and a meaning out of life if you do something. I work with a place called High Hopes. I work with people that have been in car wrecks and mentally impaired, help them rehabilitate back into society. Some of them never do make it, of course, back into society, and others, some of them do occasionally. It's a long process working with mentally impaired, but the bottom line is I feel really good when I'm doing it. It's probably one of the best things I've ever done in my life. I also work with children, too, you know, helping getting them fed and, you know, children that are homeless and stuff like that. There's a lot of programs that are fun to work with. I think everybody out there should try it at some point when they have a little bit of time. Sometimes it's necessary to force yourself to do this kind of work, but the rewards from it are tremendous because you feel it makes another person out of you. It makes you whole again. None of us, I think, are ever complete without helping others anyway. Even if it's not charity, it's some form of help is necessary. My whole life is designed to help make this world a better place for younger kids, because when I came into this world, it was a much better place environmentally than it is now. It was still the human race that we had to deal with, but the environment has gone downhill a lot in the years I've been here, very, very substantially. On the brighter side, a lot of the medical advances have been made to deal with the sickness that it creates, so it's a catch-22.
Exactly.
Is Big Don around in the background there? Is he hanging out, too?
No, he's having dinner right now.
Oh, he's having his dinner now, huh?
Yes.
his epiphany came,
no,
though.
No, Dr. Bell. Oh, Dr. Epiphany came. Doug's saying that in the background.
What does that mean? What is he trying to say?
Oh, Doug is saying that the epiphany is that putting us together is, I think, now coming to the...
It's starting to form
something now. But I'd also like to say, you know, in regards to what we were just talking about as far as giving, I feel that happiness... what I've realized from the happiness that I've had, that I've gotten so much more happiness out of giving than thinking about myself. I mean, whenever I've had friends talk to me, you know, and say that they're unhappy or they feel, you know, bored or they feel, you know, just
unconnected, and they need something, they need an idea, or they need to take action or do something that, you know, will make them happy. And they're always trying to think, well, what can I do for myself? Maybe I should go shopping. Maybe I should spend money. I should eat candy, do something like this. And they're thinking that these things for themselves are going to bring them happiness. And what I realized by being a single mother, that the greatest happiness I've ever experienced in my life was when I wasn't thinking about myself.
I know, that's very true.
It's like trying to make myself happy and always trying to get better and better ideas of what I could do for myself. I could never spend enough money to make myself happy. I can never have enough clothes to make myself happy. You see what I mean? It's like, so when you're thinking about yourself and you know, trying to make yourself happy by doing something for yourself, it never works.
And I
so,
know that one.
Yes, and because you can never get enough, you can never do enough. You know, the party can never be big enough. You know, you always have to go for the bigger party to bring you bigger happiness. And you know, it's all about, you know, it can never be big enough.
I think the only exception to that for women is when they go to the mall. I think okay.
Doug's laughing in the background about my big enough.
Yeah, well, I think that if a woman has is feeling depressed, all they have to do is go to the mall, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're okay. I think that usually works for women, and I don't know if it works for men.
You know what? It's just a temporary high. It's a temporary high, Dr.
Will. Hell of a temporary high at all those malls that they're putting around now the world, don't you think?
It's called a quick fix. It's not called happiness. And we're talking about happiness, and the only way to really get fulfilled and really be happy is to not think about yourself. And then we're back to the concept of giving and the nonprofits. If you could do for others, give to others, help others, this is what spiritually enlightens you. This is what brings the true happiness and fills that gap. And
what about if we had a star for the night at the mall? Now that would be a double whammy, wouldn't it?
It sure would. That would be total. You know, instant gratification, I'll tell you, because you can buy your
promoter. There's a good job for Doug.
Yeah, it's like,
you
I
can
know.
Go out and promote these things at malls.
I know. The
Yeah.
The Star for the Night event could be while you're buying yourself that expensive dress at Nordstrom's, you grab an underprivileged kid and you buy him the same little outfit.
Yeah. Yeah, and you take the kid into Victoria's Secret and they'll really go crazy, huh?
Oh, God.
That's where Doug would go. He goes right in there. I bet Doug loves Victoria's Secret.
I think little girls would really love Nordstrom's.
Nordstrom's.
Take me to Nordstrom's is what I say.
How about taking a little boy into the hobby shop? Now,
oh,
that's
yes.
where I would have to go if I were younger.
Yes.
I could go there anyway.
So if those people,
you know, where they have good models.
Yeah. So if those people feel that the only thing that they could really give is that, you know, trip with that child, you know, to Nordstrom's or whatever, if they've got the money and that's what they have to give, then I'd say grab your neighborhood underprivileged child and go on a little shopping trip together.
Yeah, that's good.
And they'll get double gratification out of it because they get their beautiful little outfit, but they also make a child happy at the same time. And they've got company.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the little girl could give the woman the idea that, you know, maybe her outfit could be better or something, you know.
Yeah, look at Angelina Jolie. She likes to do that so much. She goes out and adopts kids so she can do it all the time now.
Yeah, see.
Brad Pitt. See?
You know, I think what happened is she realized how much happiness she got from helping those children, and she just can't get enough. Maybe
yeah,
it's an addictive personality.
Yeah,
you know?
It's got her boyfriend doing it now, too.
Yeah, poor
he
guy.
He changed a lot.
He didn't know what he was going to get into. But you know what? I think she's his soulmate because she is definitely teaching him that, you know, by giving and helping and loving, instead of spending all of his time, you know, making movies and making jewelry with Jennifer, you know, instead he's out there giving his heart and soul and changing the world, isn't he?
Yeah. That's
and that's what a soulmate is, huh? It's somebody to help you do your purpose in life and create better things and using your talents for making other people happier, and which makes you happier too. There you go. Just like John Lennon, you know, John Lennon was just a successful musician with the Beatles, right? Well, you turn around, he meets Yoko Ono, which nobody likes Yoko, but the thing about Yoko is she was his soulmate because she got John to turn into this overwhelmingly, you know, wonderful person who is out there promoting peace and love and, for, you know, and making his purpose happen. And that's what meeting your soulmate and Yoko is all about.
I agree with that.
Yep. So good for Brad and Angelina. That's what I say. The yeah. Brangelina, you know, couple, I say go for it. Go out there. Use your talents, your fame, and your stage. And go out there and change the world and give your love and show people what happiness is.
Yeah, I think they should. Everybody should be doing that. I think every listener out there tonight is going to go out and adopt a child for a day and go shopping.
Well, I hope so. Yeah, I hope they can do something.
We should be advertising for the malls here, you know. Boy, I'll tell you. You got any malls up there where you live? I know you're up there in Northern California. What's the shopping like up there anyway?
Oh, gosh. You know what? We really have to travel probably 2 hours to Sacramento to get, you know, the right thing.
Really?
Yeah, yes, we do. But, you know, it doesn't even have to be spending money. You know, back to the concept.
Just looking at stuff helps, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. Window shopping's good, but...
Yeah. I know. I get into Sharper Image. I get stuck in there. You know, that's a real hard place for me to get out of. Did you ever go into Sharper Image?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
But the thing is you don't even have to spend money to do this giving, loving thing. You know, you could grab a kid and you know, whatever you're going to do, even if you're not going to be in the spotlight or spend money, you know, grab a kid. And if you're going to go to the, to you know, 31 Flavors or something, you know, grab a kid and give the kid 1 hour to have a hot veg sundae with you. You know, I mean, you know, it could be big or it could be little, but, you know, just giving of your time and your love, even whether it be for 30 seconds or an hour at the ice cream shop, you know, is it's all about just that first baby step to, you know, just being able to not think of yourself, you know, getting out of that space of me and realizing that, you know, if you can give to other people and share your heart, your time, your money, whatever you have, whatever you're doing, then people can understand the concept of getting happy from changing the world and starting to give again. And I have another statement that I'd like to make is one of my philosophies, I call it religion, is if somebody asks you for something, this is how I believe. You don't want to say no. If you know, if you have it, if you can give it, don't say no. Because I've always thought to myself, you know, if I tell somebody no, if somebody asks me on the side of the road for $5 and they need it and they ask, if they ask, you have to say yes. You have to give that to them. And the reason being is, how do you expect God, you know, if you're going to pray and ask for something, how do you expect God to not say no to you if you say no to other people?
Well, I know that in India, on the river Ganges, that there's beggars on the bridges there. And a lot of times the wealthy will come out there and the beggars hold their cups up. And sometimes the beggars don't like the vibe of the donators. The wealthy people, so they'll turn their cup upside down. So if you're a wealthy person and you're going to put some money in somebody's cup, they turn the cup upside down, that's a great insult.
Ooh.
It means that you must have some greedy vibration, and the beggar, even though they don't have anything, can't accept anything. You know. So I think that tithing is very important, but I also think it's wise to, when you donate to things, to understand, because there's a lot of foolishness in the nonprofits. I've seen, like we were talking about earlier, I've seen a lot of it. And today, they're almost a dime a dozen. I get more junk mail now from nonprofit things to support things I've never heard of than I ever have before. I get more than those in bills, actually, now.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty amazing, considering how many of those I get anyway.
Right. Well, I really want to just keep going on about that concept with giving, because if people could really think about that, really contemplate the fact that if that person's out there with their heart out there enough to ask, which most people don't, Dr. Bell, most people do not ask for what they want. And so to me, that's, I totally think that you should not say no. If that person has enough you know, guts and need to ask. Give it to them. Don't say no. Don't roll your window up to that person out on the street, because, you know, most of us are thinking that that is, we don't trust. We don't trust that that is a real veteran if it says he's a veteran. You know what I say? I say trust. Trust. Let that give that veteran money because he's asking. And it doesn't matter what the the agenda is. It doesn't matter if he's a bum or if he drinks too much. What matters is that he's asking. If he is asking, you need to give. Because it's for you anyway. It's not for him. It's for you. And if that person's asking, it's up to us to not say no. Otherwise, if someone's going to ask, if we ask for something, then the karmic way about it is that that person will be able to allow themselves to say no, including God, including the world, including the universe. We have to say yes to people that ask, so that when we need something, we want something, we will get told yes to.
You know, that is the airspace. Anyway, the other thing is people have, I've also noticed, have trouble receiving. Sometimes people are givers, but then they don't know how to receive. Have you run across people like that?
I'm taking the microphone away from Doug now. I totally agree with that. I think, you know, receiving is just as important, if not more important, than giving.
Yeah, I think
because when people want to give, if you don't receive as much, then what's the difference of giving if you're not going to feel good about giving if the person doesn't receive well either?
Yeah,
so
it's
very important that everybody learns how to receive as well, you know. And
I learned that one too.
Yeah, and where people can learn to say thank you, just thank you, not feel guilty, not have an agenda, not have anything to say other than thank you. If people could just go thank you, no guilt, no trip, just thank you. You're right. You're so right.
Yeah.
Receiving is so, so important on that whole line of giving.
I see a lot of people down here in Southern California pretty frozen in that mode. They can't even receive a compliment like, how's it going today? How are you doing?
Oh, I know. Or I like your hat. Or you look nice today. Then the next thing you know, they say, they have an excuse. Oh, well, I just picked this thing up, or it was on sale. Or
yeah,
you look good today. Oh, well, but my eyes are puffy. They want to try to bring out something negative. When you're trying to say you look good and you're trying to bring up a compliment, you're trying to give them something to make them feel good, and they're not accepting it. They're not accepting you giving them something to make them feel good. They'll in turn try to make you feel bad for giving to them that compliment.
Yeah, well, you know, I always have a saying, you have to believe in order to receive.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's been one of my sayings for years.
Well, you have to have an open heart to receive, so that you could say, instead of thinking about yourself and your insecurities on receiving, instead you turn around and you've got to think about them. You've got to say to yourself, gosh, do I want to make them feel bad for giving to me? So that it's a selfish thing not being able to receive. It's a selfish thing.
One of the things that I always get a kick out of is when you're trying to explain, or somebody's there and they're trying to explain some concept to someone else, and they say, now, will you just have an open mind and accept it? And to me, an open mind is, the mind is the slayer of the real anyway. That doesn't do any good. You have to have an open heart.
Right. Yeah.
And most people, they go for the mind, but
right,
the mind isn't real.
No.
It's just a TV tuner. You know, that's all it's good for. It doesn't have any feeling at all.
And that's a great place for us to stop your show also, is the fact that people got to realize that it's all about the heart. But they're telling us that we got to cut off the show here.
Because Nevin, they call him Nevin the Chopper.
Yeah.
He'll chop you right off the air.
He's
going to
chop you.
Statement.
He's in there with his axe right now saying, we're going to chop you guys.
Yeah.
But thank you so much, Dr. Bell, for having me on your show. And it was a spontaneous thing. And I'd like to say thank you so much, and that you're just a wonderful, awesome person. And I know that you're one of the most popular people on BBS Radio.
I don't know. I think Doug's becoming more popular now.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
The free reading show we did the other night, you know. So, Doug, he'll sneak a poem in on you. You better be careful.
Well, he's saying
he's tricky.
He's saying now peace out, and they're ready to chop us off. So you have a great evening.
Okay,
and,
you too.
Love you much. Bye.
All right, thank you, everybody, for listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show.
Read the Morning Book of Our Generation, Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light by Dr. Fred Bell. Bring energy and healing technologies into your life that have been kept secret for centuries, exposed or highly classified research projects in use today at NASA and Area 51. The book is available on Dr. Bell's website, www.pyradyne.com. You'll also see more information about Dr. Bell's nuclear receptors, which allow our bodies to process all forms of electromagnetic and chemical toxins, assuring longer, healthier life. Call 1-800-729-2603 today.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.